Friday the 13th.
Blog Talk Radio.
Oh.
The North American Wrestling Connection, bringing you great wrestling discussion since 2007. Sanctioned by
Rambler, you are a punk mother piece of shit. You are you are the reason you had a job in WWF because you suck Hulk Hogan. And you suck Hulk Hogan.
Good grief.
And what in
the world?
Good grief. Good evening and welcome to Deep Thoughts with the Iron Sheik.
Oh my God. That's
good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the North American Wrestling Connection. My name is Robert Seidelman, and hey, rumor mill, Sean Mooney might have a job again. But first, to introduce our panel.
Oh, Lordy.
First of all, from New York City, where the lights will, where the bright lights will inspire you, BRM.
Oh, I can safely say after tonight's win, 1 minute and Quarks it still sucks. RPI wins 5-2.
And this is your RPI hockey update. And then someone who's in an estate state of mind. Take two. Somebody who's in an empire state of mind, Jason Block.
Boy, that introduction sounded like the last TNA creative meeting.
Except more got done with Iron Sheik's interview.
Right. Wow. Okay, next.
Then from Toledo, it's Dayton, right?
What?
From Ohio, we have Staff Boy Josh Henniger.
You had it right the first time, sir. Toledo.
And also from Toledo, Ohio, we have DJ.
About 1 month ago, there were nasty rumors persisting that the demise of one Roderick Toombs was imminent. Gladly, he's alive and well, and he's bringing the pit to the world's most famous arena Monday night. Thank God.
Amen.
What time is the drawing, Mom?
And then also we have Vance Archer.
I missed it.
Whatever
that was.
Damn
then we
it.
Get to Vance.
Sorry.
What the hell is that? Anyways, then we have Vance Archer's personal PA guy. We have or PR guy. I'll speak right this evening, folks. Just give me some time. Typo.
That's right. If you're going to be jumping on the Vance Archer bandwagon, you got to hook onto me because I'm the lead car.
Voidomania still running wild?
Damn right.
And then from Columbus, Ohio, we have the person who's always been on the Tyler Black and John Morrison bandwagons, even before they even got on TV, Nikki Haymon.
I have no idea what you're talking about, but I can give you 14 good reasons why I back these two gentlemen.
Wow.
Don't forget the Randy Orton bandwagon.
No, not anymore. Yeah. No, that's the Chuck Wagon, so to speak.
Ouch.
The Chuck Wagon?
Yeah, the Billy and Chuck Wagon, yes.
Ooh, or the gravy train.
Ew.
Remember?
No, I'm saying.
Yes. Dog food, whatever.
No,
and then from Louisiana, we have the Breeze, Charles Schneer.
I'm coming on right now, so I'm
who's
watching.
Yes, the Iron
the Breeze.
Proud sponsor of the North American Wrestling Connection.
Where did my headset go? Where did my headset go? Where did the headset?
With that said, let's get into the show. So Raw was in England this week.
As
with guest host Ricky Hatton.
Who was okay.
That's pretty much sums it up. It was just okay.
I didn't see all of it.
Nothing was memorable
okay.
on that
show.
Normally when they're in the UK, something is memorable, but this week, not so much.
I
yeah.
disagree.
Did anybody not call Chavo Guerrero getting KO'd by Ricky Hatton? And you didn't even have to tell me the match was going to happen, and I could have told you last week before the show that Chavo Guerrero was getting knocked out by Ricky Hatton.
Mm-hmm.
And according to him, his punch was real.
Yeah, 25 yeah. years ago, that had gotten his ass fired.
Right.
Pretty much.
So, but you were saying, Nikki, you said that there was some good stuff happening there.
Well, I know that I'm going to get a collective groan from the rest of the panel here, but I found the John Cena segment with him defending Hornswoggle from DX very, very amusing.
Okay.
I found
it
not exactly a groan, but a.
Well,
I will say it was all right. I will say
I
was
hoping
all
at
right.
the end, though. I was hoping at the end that when Cena threw his hands up and knocked off his hat, I was expecting him to pull off his shirt and find a DX shirt underneath it.
That would have been better.
John Cena do would have
made for a better
job.
Segment.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I did like the opening promo between Big Show, Jericho, Hatton, and DX. That was decent.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, Jericho on the stick. Jericho on the stick this year, again, just freaking gold. He is the wrestler of the year, up there with CM Punk, in my opinion. Jericho, whatever he has done, has been brilliant. I mean, honestly speaking, Edge's injury has actually been, believe it or not, a blessing in disguise for Big Show with him.
Yes.
Yeah, Big Show's now has some credibility again.
Being a flunky, yes.
Yes. Sheamus crushes some British guy. And Jamie Noble, by the way, they officially announced his quote-unquote retirement. By the way, he is now, I believe, a road agent, correct?
Yeah, full-time road agent.
Yeah, right.
Okay.
I could pretty much confirm that all the way back to bragging rights. He was traveling with road agents.
Okay.
He's been a road agent for at least a year now.
Oh, yeah. Now.
Yeah.
Alicia Fox defeated Kelly. Let's see. Oh, of course, Santino as Ricky Fatten, which was great, which set up the... Okay?
Yeah. I was going to say, that wasn't one of his stronger shticks. That didn't amuse me at all.
No, it didn't.
Well, I will be honest with you. I want you to show your hands right now. Who here has heard of Ricky Hatton before they announced him on Raw last week? Show of hands.
I have.
So about 3 out of 7.
No, more like...
I think everybody.
Everybody.
Yeah.
We all have, Solomon.
I'm afraid I have not.
All right, so 5 out of 7.
Okay.
I remember his fight against Mayweather, number one, and number two.
Yeah.
He also has had interaction with WWE superstars in the past. When Undertaker and Batista were feuding, I think back in 2007, both of those wrestlers made a visit to Ricky Hatton's gym.
Yeah.
And watched him train, so.
Yeah, exactly.
I remember reading that.
There's actually a pretty cool picture of him standing in between the two of them, and Ricky Hatton, compared to The Undertaker and Batista, looks like a dwarf. and he's trying to keep the two apart, and it's very funny.
Ricky Hatton is actually one of my favorite British fighters, actually now, besides David Haye, who just beat a guy by the name of Valuev to win the heavyweight belt this week. I believe it was the WBA belt. Valuev is a 7'2" giant, basically.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
well,
he's the first British world champion since Lennox Lewis.
Yeah. You know, to be honest with you, it's times like these, I hate to get off track a little bit, but I'm not up on boxing. It's times like these that I really miss Tuesday Night Fights on USA. Remember that show?
Absolutely, I do.
Yeah.
All right.
Every Tuesday night, I'd watch that show. I'd know some boxers and be able to talk about with some older people, mainly my Uncle Richard, you know, who Hector Macho Camacho is and who Razor Riddick was.
Well,
if you want to get back into boxing, Find a bar that's showing the fight tomorrow night, or find it online streaming live somewhere, because Pacquiao and Cotto might be the upset fight of the year.
I'm not going to. I'm watching something more important.
Which
UFC
is?
105.
Ooh.
Uh-huh.
All right, we'll get to that in a minute.
Getting let's get back to Raw, but not on the show, but after the show.
Okay. Well, just before we just get to that, I'm just saying, you had a very, very good promo between The Miz and Swagger, just to let you know. I know we have a lot to talk about.
Yeah.
Bourne versus Swagger, which was a very good match. You also had the match between Orton versus Henry, which was interesting. And then you had Chris Jericho versus DX, which was again another one of those swerves teasing the thing. But get back to what happened on Raw. I believe it was a couple of days later.
No, it was on Raw after the show.
Okay.
As Jason and Nikki, whoever's been to a Raw before, they usually have a dark main.
Yes.
Usually a match solely for the people in the crowd. And it's normally a big match, like a title match or a big tag match.
Right.
Before that, Chris Jericho was trying to get heat from the crowd. He did it well. Insulting, you know, their teeth and, you know, just going through his regular shtick. At the end of it, some fan, who shall be renamed nameless because I don't know his name, decides to fling a DX glow stick at him. Hits him dead on.
Right in the face.
Oh.
He's
Jericho's reaction is priceless.
That
makes
Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
Jericho stares at the glow stick, and he just says, "I'd like to see the son of the bitch who threw that glow stick right now so I could kick his ass!" The crowd erupts and he eggs him on some more. He throws down both belts and the crowd just keeps on throwing the glow sticks at him.
Uh-huh. Almost ECW-like.
Yeah, but you want to know something, though? I'm sorry. You guys can laugh at that and all that stuff. That's dangerous.
True. Well, yeah, it is. So throwing a whole bunch of steel chairs.
Yeah. But
and
you know,
being in the middle of one of those, it's dangerous, but it's magical.
It was magical.
That was the PG version of the South Philly chair riot.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
That's what
so you're saying,
I remember something like that in TNA in 2006. It was Slammiversary 2006, just got through the Jeff Jarrett screw job again, where Jarrett gets the belt through nefarious means, thanks to Earl Hebner, pushing the ladder off of, pushing, I think it was AJ and Sting.
Pushing and Sting, I thought.
Yeah. Pushing the ladder down. Jared gets up, and then out comes these plastic water balls, and they just chuck them at Jared and Earl Hebner.
And then Cornette comes down and takes the title.
No, Slick Johnson takes the title, and then he hands it to Cornette. But you know what? I just have to say something. Anytime you can, staged or not, you see somebody get stuff pelted at him like the DX glow sticks or the water bottles, you got something.
Mm-hmm.
Now, sure, Jarrett's more like X-Pac heat, but you take what you can get.
I mean, Jericho literally can get the heat. I understand that. I mean, look at he nearly got his ass killed in, what was it, Vancouver?
Where was that?
It was in Canada. I know. Was it Edmonton?
Vancouver.
The fact that he gets attacked in Canada still blows my mind. The fact that he still got attacked, that all those fan videos of him getting out of his car and having to defend himself against a pair of idiot fans because the arena security wouldn't do their freaking job.
Yeah, yes.
And I'll tell you what, too. I love Chris Jericho. I'm typically the guy who looks at their work, and even if they're a heel and I like them, I'll still cheer for them. But Chris Jericho has been so brilliant as his role as the sanctimonious, self-righteous heel that even if I were to view him at a live event, I would give him tremendous heel heat. That's how good he's been.
He's fantastic. He is fantastic. I mean, it's just like someone compared him, I read it somewhere, to the Eddie Gilbert, where he was being, you know, like above everybody else. I've never seen that area. It is from Southern Smoky Mountain or something.
Smoky Mountain, Hot Stuff Eddie Gilbert, yep.
Okay,
yep.
Where he, you know, said that sort of deal. And I never saw it, but I love the words that he uses. Pharisees, parasites.
Germ incubators.
I'm sorry?
Germ incubators.
Which
yeah.
I don't start nicking with.
Blame him for me getting sick in the first place for using that term. Anyway.
Yes.
Well, we've talked about the fun stuff that happened on Raw. Now let's talk about some of the bad stuff that's been happening for the past couple of weeks. We got to talk ratings, guys. I want to talk about the past 5 months on Raw. So we've had about 20 or so guest hosts.
And I said, by the way, this chart was compiled by a reader at pwinsider.com.
Yes, and I'd like to thank that person, whoever that guy's name is.
And I sent it over to Robert, and it's a very interesting numbers there.
Yeah, very interesting. I'm looking at the numbers, and they show some drops, which I think are quite surprising. Are you guys ready for this one? We're going to start with Donald Trump buys Raw, announces the guest host concept. This was the no commercial Raw.
From the week of June 22nd.
Right.
Yeah, June 22nd, when this was announced. 4.5.
Yeah,
wow.
It was, I believe, the highest rated Raw this year.
Yeah,
by
highest
far.
Rated Raw this year. Actually, highest rated Raw for the past few years.
Yes.
And then we get to the first guest host, and it was the Animal Batista. Who always provides us with some great Photoshop moments. That one, unfortunately, didn't provide us with one. Anyways, 3.9 is what the rating got, which is good. Vince is happy with 3.9. I also like to point out, these ratings are pre-Monday Night Football, pre-World Series. So, until we hit... hit September.
Right, Bob Barker, September 7th.
Yeah, that was the last Raw before Monday Night Football. Or was that the first Raw of Monday Night Football?
That was the first Raw of Monday Night Football. There were a couple of preseason games.
Okay.
So
we hit Ted DiBiase, which was a 3.6. Some drop-off, but that was a weekend where it was Independence Day. People were still in the afterglow.
They taped that one, didn't they?
Yes, they did.
That was the two Raws. Back-to-back, yeah.
Because I believe they were...
Australian tour.
Yes, Australian. Yeah, Seth Green, DiBiase. Then we went to...
Seth Green did 3.5. ZZ Top, everything of theirs were pre-taped. 3.5. Let me get technically what I consider the highest rated as a guest host, and that was Shaquille O'Neal. Although the technical number is 3.9, the overrun rounded it out to a 4. And then we get the worst guest host, which was Jeremy Piven, a 3.6. Honestly, if that show, it should have been lower. Then we had Sergeant Slaughter, which was a 3.9 in Canada.
Mm-hmm.
Then we hit Freddie Prinze Jr., 3.8, modest drop-off. And then we start to draw in more of the boxing fans with Floyd Mayweather, 3.9, although he only appeared for half the show.
That's fine.
Mm-hmm. And for the last... pre-Monday Night Football show, Dusty Rhodes with a 3.6.
I was there.
Yes.
And then we get Bob Barker, which was the first night with Monday Night Football. Keep that in mind. 3.8, the second hour dropped from a 3.86 to a 3.79, so some people were, I honestly think they were flipping back and forth to the Monday night game.
Which was
that was also Labor Day weekend, too.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
Labor Day weekend as well, right.
Then we get back into Canada for Stratus. 3.4. Now we start to see the hurt. Then we get Cedric the Entertainer. 3.4. Now, next was Reverend Al Sharpton. I didn't watch. Jason, you didn't watch. I think out of all of us, Nikki was the only one that watched.
It was
I actually did watch.
And it was a 3-1, and looking at the statistics, it was the lowest rated, tied for the lowest rated guest host.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And he deserved that.
Yeah. Then we had Big Ben on the show. And he got it up to a 3.3. Second hour
drive. That was against the Vikings-Packers, too, which was quite possibly the biggest Monday night game of the year.
I believe it was one of the highest rated games ever, yes.
Yeah. Then we get to next week, Nancy O'Dell and Marina Menounos. 3.4, however, the second hour dropped from 3.44 to 3.30. And then we got Snoop Dogg, 3.3 overall. However, that rating dropped 3.48 to 3.17. We're getting into MLB playoff territory here. Now we have Kyle Busch and Joey Logano. See, wrestling's target audience, you know, allegedly, or... stereotypical wise, the NASCAR fans. 3.7.
Yeah.
Now here's where it gets sticky. These last two numbers are bad.
Mm-hmm.
We have the Osbournes on the show. 3.4, the second hour dropped from 3.5 to 3.38. And here's where the danger signs start to come up. This week's Raw, Ricky Hatton as guest host. 3.1, but the second hour dropped quite substantially if you take a look at the big picture. 3.17 to 2.95.
Ouch.
Oh.
Wow.
Well, I can one.
Yikes.
I can one. I for one can tell you that as somebody who probably in the last decade can count the number of times I've missed Raw is on with one hand. And most of the time, that's because I'm traveling. I did not watch this past week because, number one, the show was pre-taped and I read the spoilers. And number two, Steelers and Broncos was a big Monday night game. But for me, I think in looking at the ratings from the start of the guest hosting all the way through, I really don't think that there's much rhyme or reason to what the numbers go. They fluctuate back and forth because viewership varies. I don't think people say, okay, this guest host is great. I'm going to tune in. This guest host is not. I'm not going to tune in. With the exception of Sharpton, because he's so polarizing. But each and every week, I've heard of every guest host, and I've tuned in regardless because I want to see good wrestling. The reason why in the past few weeks I haven't tuned in, maybe going to a Monday Night Football game or watching a World Series game, is because Monday Night Raw Creative has done nothing for me. They haven't elevated Ted DiBiase to a main event face role. They haven't elevated guys like Swagger and Evan Bourne. So for me, it's creative, and that's kind of what's turning me against it. But I don't think it has anything really to do with the guest host. And thoughts on that, anybody?
Ricky, well, I think this week one of the problems is just the fact that it is pre-taped, because that's been a sticking point with SmackDown. SmackDown's ratings, you know, are never that high, but that's because there's a lot of people out there that'll go read the spoilers and decide then whether or not they're going to watch the show.
Nikki, you also have to take consideration that their ratings are a different beast than cable ratings.
Admitted, but if, you know, I know enough people who will read the spoilers and go, oh, that's going to suck, and not watch.
And plus it's on Friday night. That's a night where people go out and maybe go see a movie or go do something, go to a party or something. It's not really a good night to stay in and watch TV. Now, it is a good night to call into a wrestling radio show, but not necessarily to sit home and watch TV.
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
I got to say.
Thank you.
But
you're welcome.
But I think DJ is on to something. During, again, that time, all these ratings, you had a lot. First of all, it also depends on what creative does with the host, and B, what creative does with the matches. You see, it all goes back to what we were talking about last week. You have to have the guest hosts. You have to have the build. You have to have everything. And right now they're not doing a good enough job of all of it.
Yeah.
You know?
Exactly.
Not to say that they aren't trying now, because they are, with certain things, with Ms. Swagger, with I think one of the best things that's happened over the last couple of weeks is the build of Kofi Kingston.
Yes.
Okay. I think that has been damn good. But
the only thing is that I don't have faith that they're going to sustain it, because they've given guys pushes in the past, and then all of a sudden they've just dropped it and looked the other way. I agree. I like what they've done with Kofi. I just don't have faith that they'll sustain it. And with the recent weeks, they've kind of – when he destroyed Orton's car, I was all in. I was like, let's go. This is great. And then this week, catching some bits and pieces on YouTube since I didn't actually watch the show, the VIP lounge, the line from Orton about you guys are just a bunch of guys from the hood and stuff like that, that just lost me again. And I thought, okay, well, here we go again.
You don't know that, though. That's just words.
But I've seen it so many times before. I've seen this movie before, and I don't want to get invested into something, hoping and praying that WWE does the right thing, but that would be too logical for them to do, so they never, ever do it. So that's what kind of turns me off, because they don't keep building. They take one step forward, like with Kofi standing on the car, destroying the car, and then they take two steps back the next week, and then it continues to take steps back.
Well,
that's
they
my only point.
They can't take steps forward right now because these guys are being set up for their Survivor Series matches.
That is true.
They're going to be able to see Orton Kofi one-on-one after Survivor Series.
I hope so. I just don't have – and if they do, I just have an eerie feeling that they're going to job him out in a throwaway match, and probably not even on a pay-per-view, probably on just a random Raw somewhere in the middle of the card.
I don't
know.
But I do agree with Jason in the sense that you have to have everything. You have to have, for example, I think a lot of the instances in which they've had a big star for that Raw, they didn't announce any matches. So you're going into it going, okay, I know that somebody's going to host, but I don't know what the matches are going to be. Then you have other instances in which you have no-name hosts, really, or people that I've heard of, because I said I've heard of everybody, but people who don't spark a lot of interest, but yet the week before they announce a big match. So that kind of builds some interest. But I think that's why you have fluctuations in the numbers. You may have a guest host that's not as popular, but then again, they'll announce a big main event with a DX or a Jero show in it to kind of build that interest. So why don't they, for every week, when they have a big-name guest host, just announce a couple of big-name matches also to get you excited? And maybe it puts you over the top instead of saying, well, you know, I don't know what I'm going to choose between Raw or Monday Night Football. Then you have a big-name guest host, you have a couple of big matches, all of a sudden, that makes your decision a lot easier to watch Raw.
Well,
there you go.
I mean, they did promote this week's Raw's match, A, at Madison Square Garden, B, the triple threat tag match for all the main eventers of the Survivor Series, which is Cena and Undertaker, Jericho and DX, which I think is very cool. And I think they announced it because I am looking to see what the Monday Night Football game is this week.
It's the Cleveland Browns and the Ravens, so it's going to be a sucky game. So all the stars are aligned. This could be the biggest rating that they've had in a long time.
It all depends on what they do in the build for Survivor Series.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but again,
that's the thing that gets me with WWE, though. It's been a sticking point for the past 2 years. They've seemed to forget how to build a big match. especially for a pay-per-view not called WrestleMania.
I'll ditto that.
Yeah.
It's just like, because again, it goes back to last week. They need the money now. Business is down 10%. They need to have everything. And what they're doing is they're like the TV executives who will not give a show a chance. They need to have the hit right away, or else, you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's kind of like what NBC is going through right now.
Pretty much. Ironically, that's the network they're tying to. And by the way, the guest host next week is one Roddy Piper. The person who they wanted to get was Jimmy Fallon. I'm glad they didn't.
Oh, my gosh. Ew.
That is true.
Aside from what Al Sharpton, there's somebody out there that'd make me watch the Monday Night Football game. It'd be that prick of Jimmy Fallon. He is unfunny. He has ruined Saturday Night Live for me. And his movies suck. His
You didn't like Taxi?
Is...
Oh, God.
No.
His
talk show is completely unwatchable.
Although it doesn't have the Roots Crew.
His singing even sucks.
Yeah. Not even Triple H on there poking fun at him could have saved that show. Well, let's talk about something more interesting right now. Let's talk some TNA.
Ow. Okay.
And how good they are at mentioning Hogan's name. Let's see. I figured it out. At the pace they were going when I turned it off this week, they were going to mention his name once a minute, 2 hours.
Oh, God.
To be honest,
why do they want to steal the guest host gimmick?
Yeah.
Well, I think, no, they were making fun of the guest host gimmick by putting a guy who can really talk.
Super Dave Osborne?
Yeah, which unfortunately, I like Super Dave Osborne, and I was a fan of the cartoon because he's such a goofball, but I couldn't watch that. And again, hearing Hogan's name every minute, turns me
off. I just loved how he completely bashed Jeremy Borash for Twitter and Facebook. I mean, I didn't watch it originally because I was in Seattle visiting a friend. So I caught bits and pieces off of YouTube. I didn't watch the entire show. I think I stopped because I found something else to do with after the Kurt Angle Desmond Wolf segment.
Okay.
But I read the spoilers and knew what happened. It was a pretty good impact. You had the second return of Raven.
That's about as far as I got.
You missed a heck of an angle with Desmond Wolf and Kurt Angle. That was outstanding work.
Yeah, it was.
Good
I do feel bad for, because I remember Nigel all the way back in HWA.
His promo looping in the background as he's attacking Kurt Angle, and he says, third time's a charm, sunshine. That just sent chills down my spine. It was beautiful.
Best build of a wrestler this year. I'm sorry.
Give Kurt Angle credit, too, for having the forethought to put him over right away.
Yeah.
So, do you have the lineup up, Mr.
Yes,
Sutter?
I do.
Let's shout your call. Want to do it?
Eight matches. We're going 10 points.
Okay.
Boy.
Yes. I don't think we have a pre-show match. We do not.
Nope.
At least not one announced. This will be taking place from the Impact Zone, sadly. So let's get started. Six-man tag team match, Team 3D and Rhino versus Matt Morgan, Hernandez, and D'Angelo De Niro, which is a segment I forgot about. 2 points for this one. Who wins and who takes the fall? We start with the person in the first position. That is UVRM. Go ahead.
Hold on. I was looking at something else. What was the match again?
All right. Well, it was Team 3D and Rhino versus Hernandez, Matt Morgan, and D'Angelo De Niro. By the way, if anybody wants to take the option for this match, it is a full point.
Okay.
See, that's the point.
First question I'm going to say is, huh? How did this match come about?
Rhino was basically, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Rhino, Team 3D had a match with Matt Morgan and Hernandez pretty much out of respect. This was the main event in last week's Impact. Rhino pretty much said to Devon Bubbleware, here, takes his chair, blast him over the head with it. And, being gullible fools, they did. So, apparently, Rhino and Team 3D are buddy-buddy now again. And they wanted Matt Morgan and Hernandez wanted a match with him. They say, find a third partner. Out comes the Pope. Because all three of them are like the future of TNA or something. And Rhino is paranoid about losing his spot, and somehow Team 3D is also paranoid about losing their spot. So pretty much a lot of insider terms here being thrown around.
Mm-hmm.
And why is this a one-point match if he takes the option? Is it a two-point match regularly?
2-point match, who wins, who takes the fall.
Okay.
I am taking a point. Because
Jason.
Rhino is going to turn on Team 3D. Matt Morgan will get the pin on Brother Ray.
Josh.
You have it half right there, Jason. Matt Morgan will be staring at light. Wait a minute. Matt Morgan will take the pin. But it will be Rhino who will be staring at lights.
EJ.
Pope has spoken. The young guys take the fall with Matt Morgan pinning Blubber Ray.
Or Blubber Ray, take your pick. Typho.
I'm going to say Morgan Hernandez Pope win, and it will be Rhino take the fall.
Mickey.
Young guys definitely win. I see Devon getting pinned.
Oh.
Carl.
Load.
Paul.
Rubies! Where are you?
He
went to the
well, get back to him.
I think he went to the bathroom.
Okay.
So I'm gonna declare the young guys win, and Rhino's looking up at the lights. Okay, now I need to explain this one. This is a TNA Knockouts tag match. All titles are on the line. It's the Beautiful People versus Sarita, Taylor Wilde, and ODB. Let me explain this one. If Sarita, Taylor Wilde, and ODB win, they keep their belts. If the Beautiful People win, if one of them pins ODB, the person that pinned ODB is the knockout champion, the other two become the tag champions. If somebody other than ODB is pinned, they have to decide between each other who is the knockout champion. Okay? And because of utter confusion, we're only going to go 1 point. So, which team wins? Carl, you there? Hello?
Yeah, I'll take that as a no.
Must have some Taco Bell tonight.
Gives me a reason to play this.
Hilarious!
Vicky Guerrero is not even in this match.
Excuse me.
Damn! Nikki, go for it.
Please play the angle sound and give me my half point.
You got it.
Screw your moves!
Okay, that'll be the half point sound for this match. Typo?
I'm going to take, I say, ODB, Sarita, Taylor Wilde, retain.
DJ.
I would screw Velvet Sky's boobs any day. Beautiful people win, and she becomes the champ.
You horny bastard, you. Speaking of, what say ye, Josh?
Oh, God.
What
nice.
Do you think about Rocka Khan?
Oh, wow.
That was a good one.
Wow.
Attaboy.
That was good.
Half point, Josh?
Yep.
Jason?
No way are the beautiful people going to get any sort of touch of the belt just yet. Sarita, Taylor Wilde, ODB, retain.
At least there's
DRM.
Still a certain... Well, keep going.
DRM?
And no belts for the beautiful people yet.
You okay, DRM?
Yeah. My computer, my plug-in is... Can you hear me?
Yeah.
You're kind of hollow, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've been in a bad way all week. Not sick physically, but...
I know, trust me,
we know. All good, man.
Yeah, but anyway, like I said... Taylor and Kelsey retain, ODB and Kelsey retain. We'll wait another pay per view before we move some bells.
Okay. As much as I'd like to play this.
Screw your moves!
Thank you, Kurt. I'm going to go ahead and say.
Screw your moves!
That takes a half point.
Good move.
Then we have a Six Sides of Steel match, Awesome Kong versus Terra.
Yes, sir.
Whoa.
DRM?
Six Sides of Steel. Oh, this is going to be brutal. I have to say it, modification of one of Nikki's favorite sayings. Kong smash!
Jason.
I am calling...
Hold on. Before you go on, this is funny. The lights just went out at the Western Conference Championship game for the MLS. It's like they just died for a second.
Okay.
Isn't the MLS Western Conference Championship game in Seattle?
No, I think it's in LA because the Galaxy are the home team. I think.
Because I think the Sounders made it to the finals.
No, they didn't.
They did not. I wish they did, but no.
Terry would have said something about it.
They should have, but it's the Dynamo and the Galaxy.
Mm-hmm. I am going to pull the upset card here. Tara...
And pick Awesome Kong?
No, and take Tara to make Awesome Kong tap in the middle of the ring, MMA style, to set up her match with Kim Couture. Tara wins.
Okay, Josh.
I'm with you to a certain extent, Jason. I don't think they're pulling the trigger on that yet. Kong bash.
DJ.
Screw your six sides of boobs.
What?
Wow.
What?
Who in the hell do you think you are?
I think Gilbert Godfrey has
got his picture with the Undertaker.
Yeah. I think Gilbert Godfrey has some. I think Gilbert Godfrey has a word to say about you, DJ.
You know what? That's basically what the Undertaker said to me, but I might not have been able to comprehend with his large hand around my neck.
Yeah, there you go.
So, Typho?
I'm taking Tara.
Hmm. Okay. And Nikki.
I got a question for those who are deigning to watch TNA. Have we seen Kong's reaction to Poison?
Has she run away like a little schoolgirl?
No.
What does Bret Michaels have to do with this?
That's Whisper.
Awesome what? Kong just stared at it and just didn't do anything with it.
Kong smash.
Okay. Carl, are you there?
Okay.
Guess not. I'm taking Kong just because I'm scared of her.
I would be. Although I've heard through a friend of mine who has worked with her that she's a very nice lady.
Mm-hmm.
She's a very nice lady as long as you don't provoke her like a certain fan manager who got his hands on her after a match and had to be rescued by staff and referees.
Yeah.
Really? That was in Troy, correct?
DJ?
Yes, I think he was a local disc jockey, and he got he tried to make himself a part of the match a little too much, and I don't think he was supposed to, and I don't think Kong liked that.
They don't, usually.
I have a spectacular picture of Andrew ref Andy Thomas running his hands through his hair going, oh, boy.
Lawsuit.
Yes. X Division title match, Homicide versus the Amazing Red with the greatest promoter in the world, Don West. Is that right, Typho?
EW. That's right.
Yep. They should get, once his contract runs out, WWE, Lance should come back to TNA, have Don West manage him. go ahead, Nikki. Who's next? Yeah, it's Nikki. Go ahead.
Does Red's got the belt right now, right?
Yeah.
He's gonna keep it. Homicide will continue to be carded.
Typho.
Amazing Red retains because Don West goes in and kicks Homicide's ass for taking his wallet.
DJ.
GM Mint 10. Amazing Red retains.
Josh.
Women in baseball cards. Amazing Red wins.
Yes, I've seen the YouTube video of that. It's quite freaky. Yeah. Jason?
Amazing Red will retain in one of the three matches of the night, right here.
BRM?
Enter Don West, come here. Amazing Red wins.
Actually, Homicide wins.
Bruh.
Thank
really?
You.
Okay.
Yes. Don West is going to probably get thrown out of ringside. That's going to lead Homicide to do the Gringo Killer and pretty much kill Amazing Red again. Revenge match. Boss Bobby Lashley versus Big Papa Pup Scott Steiner. We go to you, VRM.
This is the, which match was this?
Lashley versus Steiner.
Ding me.
Ding.
Okay.
Go to hell!
Sorry, wrong one.
That's very nice.
Oh, yeah, I accidentally hit the wrong button.
Right.
Yeah. Sure.
Shut up. Jason.
Steiner's on his way out. The main event mafia is pretty much dead. Lashley crushes him pretty quickly.
Josh.
Black Lesnar wins.
Black Lesnar.
Wow. I'm glad I'm not the only one who called him that.
No.
DJ.
In my best Donald Trump voice, do we love Bobby? No, we don't,
no.
But he still wins. But he still wins, and we all lose for it.
Typo.
As much as I would love to see Steiner win, because that baby's got his eyes and everything, it's going to be the boss.
We got another caller, ladies and gentlemen. We got another caller. Caller, hello.
How y'all doing tonight?
Doing all right. Who is this?
Osmondo. What you guys talking about tonight?
TNA pick'ems for Turning Point.
Yeah, it's about TNA. I haven't watched TNA in about a month or so. Yeah, turn it on there, and I see this guy named Desmond Wolfe beating the hell out of Kurt Angle. Like, what is all that about?
I think it's because he's a hot commodity that they got off the independents, a really hot commodity. He was just recently a Ring of Honor World Champion, and because he's got the skills, he's got the look, he's got the credibility, yeah, he gets an instant push.
Huh, so do y'all think it's going to last, or think it's going to stop eventually? Because he just totally, like, raped Angle when I saw it. Like, he just clotheslined him, and that put an Angle out for some reason. I'm still not understanding why that did that, but...
That's because Desmond Wolfe has a very vicious clothesline. That's been his Larry has been a finishing maneuver of his ever since his early HWA days. Isn't that right, Nikki?
That is correct.
A la JBL.
Yeah.
Or Stan Hansen, depending on who you want to talk to.
Yeah, or Stan the Larry Hansen.
Yes.
Yes.
Huh, so, like, if you can do, like the new main guy in TNA when Kurt leaves and retires, or, like, is Kurt Angle going back to WWE, or how's that going to play out?
The coin at this point, he could probably go back to WWE if Vince will take him.
But Desmond Wolfe is one of the new hot guys in TNA, and you will see a lot of him later.
Yeah.
You will definitely see a lot of him.
Don't worry.
Yeah, by this time next year, you'll probably see a belt on him sooner or later.
So, like, you think them two at Lashley, eventually, maybe Lashley's going to get out of TNA pretty soon, too?
No.
No, but Lashley better make up his mind because he can't do wrestling and MMA.
Right. I'd hate to cut you off, Mondo, but we need to continue back with our pick-ems. We thank you for calling.
All right, definitely.
Thanks. All right.
Take care of yourself.
All right. So who are we up to?
Who was last pick? Who did I leave off with?
So you were me, but Lashley.
Okay. Then Nikki, it's up to you.
You know what? Ping me. I don't care.
Okay.
Damn.
Okay.
I love that voice. Thank you.
And my pick for this match is.
Love that. God.
Half point.
Oh, what a generator.
Okay.
Oh.
2-point match. This will be the last one of the night.
Wait, haven't we missed two?
Yeah.
We have two more to go. We have two more to go after this. This is the last 2-point match of the night.
We have three
matches left.
I see.
World Tag Team Championship match, Guns, British Invasion, Beer Money. Who wins, and to make it easier, what team loses the match? What team loses the match is the key word here. I'm going to go to Nikki.
Who has the titles right now?
Invasion does.
Invasion.
They just won on the last pay-per-view.
Yep.
Invasion retains over the Guns.
Typo.
Invasion over the guns.
DJ.
I'm going to flip the script. Guns over the invasion.
Josh.
Invasion over beer money.
Jason.
Invasion over the guns.
BRM.
It's a triple threat tag match. I'm going with the wild card. Beer money over guns.
Ooh, wow.
BRM is half right. It's beer money over the British invasion is the correct answer there, because beer money's looking for revenge. They'll get it. Kurt Angle versus Desmond Wolfe in a challenge match. We got to have picks for this one, don't we, VRM?
Yes, we do. And by rule of momentum, Kurt.
Jason.
This has been the best build of a wrestler in years, and the build will continue. Wolf destroys Angle.
And Josh.
I straddle the line to discord and rhyme. I'm on the hunt. I'm after you.
Oh, really good.
What
Desmond?
The? Somebody quoted it once himself.
Yes,
doofus.
He did.
Oh, what a doofus.
Thank you. I like to pretend I'm on America's Got Talent right now.
Oh.
Rob, screw you.
4 minutes.
I can't sing any better.
4 minutes, guys.
Yeah. DJ.
To steal Nigel's new catchphrase, Kurt Angle will bow to his howl. Desmond wins.
That's not a bad catchphrase. Put that on a shirt in the next couple months. Typo.
I'm going to say Desmond Wolfe wins by ref stoppage.
Nikki.
Angle, but only by DQ.
Angle wins to continue the feud. Now we have the big boy match.
Ah, yes.
And, in Punch-Out lingo, it's Little Mac versus Paul Bull versus King Hippo.
Yeah, pretty much.
Joe Styles Daniels, who takes the belt? Nikki.
You said, okay, Styles Daniels and who?
Joe.
Oh, good Lord. What are that match with the fans? Styles retains for now.
Typho.
Yeah, Styles retains.
DJ.
The name of the show is Turning Point. Thus far, I've picked every title change. So in the spirit of two girls, one cup, I mean, two faces and one heel, Samoa Joe takes the belt after Tomko interferes.
Jesus Christ, DJ.
The
match for two
back.
Girls, one cup. No, actually, this is the perfect thing for two girls, one cup.
Just let my phone battery die.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. Josh.
Styles retains.
Jason.
Styles will retain, but this will be the fans are the winners on this one.
And VRM.
Match of the night. Styles retains.
Joe wins. I think Joe's going to get the belt. We were going to have a couple of decent stories, like how Ric Flair was going to get married for the fourth time this week.
Which he did.
Yes, and
did
we also were going to we were also going to talk about Vance Archer and his debut in WWE.
Boy, Mania is running wild.
But unfortunately, we can't do that because we're out of time.
Yeah, it happens.
So we're going to push all that back up to tomorrow for next week for a two-hour special. We will be doing Around the Horn, Thanksgiving style.
Gobble, gobble.
And we will have a special moment of the top 25 turkeys of the wrestling year.
Start getting your list ready, huh?
Yeah. So for everybody here, my panelists, BRM, Stepper, Josh Henninger, Jason, Typo, DJ, Nikki, and whoever else.
Paul.
Did he even speak on this show?
Not really.
At the beginning.
Hey, the
good night, everybody. We'll see you next week.
Night.
The lights are finally back on in L.A.
Thank you for watching the North American Wrestling Connection Event Center.
Thanks, Sean.
Good night, everyone.